Mr. Herman.
Poop again!
Party on, dude!
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Extreme close up!
Say the so neat thing.
It's so neat.
Yeah, the and it's a,
very good.
Much easily transported.
Just
too.
Like we rehearsed.
Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? You know I'm always rehearsing.
Yeah, I'm always saying stuff into the mirror.
It's part of my OCD. It's just repeated.
Until
Oh, I noticed that because I do that too. And also I noticed in college I would be like, all right, I gave a presentation, same things over and over.
Oh,
yeah. Mantras.
You know
stuff?
What?
Yeah.
Well, or just like when you're telling someone something or you're explaining something and you say the same fact like three mm-hmm. times. Mm-hmm. You know what I do? You just track
yeah.
for you. That is
yes.
an ADHD thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
It could belong to a few different.
Yeah. I've read that
things.
Before, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that this makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the root cause of a lot of.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the times I find myself rehearsing things, it never comes out the way
exactly.
that I rehearse.
No.
Like in this scenario, I'm playing out the conversation in my head.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how I'm going to deliver. And as soon as I get in the scenario,
yeah.
I'm fumbling and I'm bumbling
oh, yeah.
around. It's like just
because you
just,
built it up.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're almost
anxious.
Trying to protect yourself.
Yeah.
too.
But then
yeah.
then I have to tell myself you're good at improv and you're good
yeah.
and you're articulate. So
yeah.
like just whatever comes out.
Yeah.
Like
you find more success when you're in the moment with mm-hmm. the flow of
right.
something than like trying to because
yeah.
nothing is like you said nothing ever really happens as you plan in your
yeah.
head
right.
Well, I found that I've been able to harness it to keep myself from saying dumb bullshit.
Yes.
So like
it's very useful.
It's useful for like
for
oh
that.
I said the dumb bullshit already and so I can relax now and because I've found that like you know I'll come away from conversation being like oh I'm glad I didn't say that thing that I
right.
thought of back
oh,
when
yeah.
I was rehearsing it.
Yeah.
It's like almost like I was able to like get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then
oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, that was actually
oh, yeah.
helpful. So I've started like doing it on purpose, harnessing it,
oh,
like
yeah.
knowing like I'll sit and have my imaginary conversation where I'm like
yeah.
crying and weeping
yeah.
and all these
yeah.
things so that when I go to the person I need to talk to, it's like a 2 or 3 minute conversation where we're actually able to get
yeah.
through to
mm-hmm. of course.
And be productive.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
But then you have the conversations
yeah.
where, which I've had just often, like over the years, like your internal conversations,
yeah.
preparing for some sort of conflict.
Mm-hmm. That never happens.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you've got yourself
yeah.
all wound
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I'm going to
yeah.
say this because they're going to
say
this. And then I'm
yeah.
going to say, and then like, you go and like, and you go tell them. And it's like real quick. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's nothing. And then
yeah.
like you're relieved, but your body's having to release so much tension.
Your
body's
yeah,
having to
like,
come back down from
yeah, exactly.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like we were talking about earlier, like all these things we're finding out that our bodies and our somatic systems and they do all these things and we like back in the 90s and 2000s and things like that, or at least like for me. Where I'm just like, oh, why am I so tired all the time? Oh, why can't I get it together? What's wrong with me? Should I take iron? Should I take the?
Yeah.
And just like discovering that like I live in this, even with medication,
mm-hmm.
I live in a very heightened state so much of the
yeah.
time. And so like trying to figure out, last couple of years, just trying to figure out like, okay, how do we not live in such a heightened state?
Yeah.
So like things like, you know, of course, 10, 15 years ago, people would have poo-pooed it. Now everyone loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it's an ancient practice that, you know, Catholic spiritualists and people did. But, you know, meditation, mindfulness.
Yeah.
Mindfulness
yeah.
has been around for always.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just maybe had different names and things like that. So all these things that, like, bring down that place of...
Yeah.
I'm always at this level,
yeah.
you know, and that's why I'm tired all the time because my body's coming down. From,
yeah, that, and that makes complete sense. I always, when I tell people, like, because I know exactly what you're talking about, sort of always at this heightened sense of awareness.
Fight or flight, you know, your fight or flight is super active.
I always tell people I have this inexplicable sense of urgency all the
time. All the time.
Towards nothing in particular.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think you said this heightened sense of awareness. I think even like ever since a young age, I know for me personally, I've just had this heightened awareness of like things around me and like situations and these situations to try to avoid
other people's emotions. Yeah. Like you get the just like if other it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And so, and some people call it empath and some people use more scientific sounding things like highly sensitive or, you know, and now there actually can be a little overwhelming to find out there's things you do. So like, you could have an auditory processing disorder or a sensory processing disorder or like, you're like, wait, hold on. I thought I had ADHD. And then before that, I thought I had an anxiety and depression problem. Yeah. And, you know, and it's like, well, you may have all or none. It might be some other inexplicable thing that we don't know. And
this isn't good for me.
You're like, wait a minute.
That's my problem is my sense of uncertainty and how it freaks me out. At least I could put a name to all that shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and part of that, too, is like thinking there's something wrong with you.
Right.
So the more you kind of dole out and you're like, okay, I'm finally at peace with this. It's like, well, you could have like an auditory processing. It's just like, so you just, I'm so fucked up. There's so much wrong with me.
I think there's just that hopelessness of, wait, so I'm just fucked up and I need, and like, okay, if I'm so fucked up, like give me some medicine or something.
Yeah.
But then there's adverse side effects to those too. That
I mean,
you have to,
but Zoloft and Wellbutrin.
Right. But you hear
people say like, well, I was taking this antidepressant, but I started making my body feel kind of like shitty.
Yeah.
So I had to wean myself off of that. Yeah. So now I'm kind of back to square one. And that's kind of where a little bit of fear creeps in.
I need something to make me better.
As someone who's been taking Zoloft for well over a decade, put it in the water, baby.
Okay.
Take that.
Okay.
Take Zoloft. Man, Zoloft, I have had no issues with Zoloft at
Excellent.
All. I was even able to take it when I was pregnant. So like Zoloft and Wellbutrin, if you can take those, you're most likely fine. It's when you have issues that like even the highest dosage of those isn't going to cut it. And you have to take some other stuff or whatever. But I mean, you don't know unless you try. Like, here's the thing. You can always stop taking a medication.
Right.
And I don't like that either. Like, I don't look forward to this like, oh, this medication isn't working. Let's try another. This one isn't. And so like, I've been really glad that usually first try.
Sure.
I've been like, okay, this medication is fine or whatever. And like in talking, like listening, reading different articles and listening to different people talk about, you know, that same issue of like, well, all these quote unquote disorders, which I already object to the name disorder. Like, because what we're finding out is I hope someday, aside from the extreme things, like there are extreme things like, you know, multiple personality disorder or schizophrenia. Like, yes, those are actual. But for things like, I don't think that ADHD should be called a disorder.
Right.
I think it's a difference of how a brain works. And our society just doesn't value that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so don't call it a disorder. Yeah. It's a difference.
Sure.
And we absolutely can find ways to try and cope in our world. But like a lot of it, because we had someone, we were right on the verge of getting our child medication for the ADHD because there was just something he couldn't get over. And we were finally like, well, let's try medication. Maybe he'll be able to like focus long enough to learn how to read. Like he just can't seem to retain it.
Sure.
And then we can find out, maybe we can find out if he has dyslexia, if we can take this factor out or whatever. And so we like went through all of this. And then the school has a consultant this year. And she's like, well, actually, you know, we spent all this time, ADHD, this is what's going on, ADHD. She's like, well, actually, I don't know. She's like, I feel like he could have a visual processing disorder and maybe you should have him tested for autism. And I'm like, what?
Yes.
I don't have a, if he's autistic, whatever, that's fine. That's not what was bothering me.
Sure,
that's
right.
Not why I was crying.
No.
I was crying because I was like, shit,
I
man.
Thought it was this thing.
But not yeah. just that, but like, what if that means I'm on the spectrum?
Right.
Because there's all these people who are like diagnosed. This, yeah. I went through the same thing with ADHD. It's like, yeah, it's hidden among women who are like successful in mm-hmm. school. And then after you get out of school, it's like you flail. And this yeah. is why, because of hidden ADHD. And now all of a sudden, all those signs also point to the spectrum.
Sure.
And I'm just like, well, am I on the spectrum? Yeah. Like all these people who are like, you know, well, it turned out I was on the spectrum and nobody believed me because they said I didn't yeah. act like. And so it's just this overwhelming thing of. And so the point I'm getting at is you see people who are talking about this problem of like mm-hmm. all of these overlapping like symptoms.
Yeah.
And it's like, honestly, why don't we just, maybe we should just try and treat the symptoms instead mm-hmm. of like figuring out which pigeonhole this belongs into.
Sure.
Because it's just like this thing, this, you feel like you're spinning because you're just like, could be none, could be all, could yes. be a combo of these, plus I'm yeah. almost 40, so who knows what else is
right.
mixed yeah. in there.
So what's the point anymore?
Right. Well, yeah. that's
and true. Not even what's the point, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't even know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, because I could at least put a name to it.
Right.
And that, and back to, and nothing wrong with being on the spectrum either.
No,
it's just the fact
no,
that you.
I don't
you,
think so.
Of course
no,
not.
Unless
course
you're
not.
Like, I think, the harder part is probably, it's easy for us to say that.
Yeah.
It's probably easier for people that have children on the spectrum where it's like not as noticeable. But when you
sure.
have, like, I had a professor in college who her son was like in a place where like he had to be cared for and in a way that was like, there were times where he was very large. And so
yeah.
if he had a tantrum at 20 something, it mm-hmm. could hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so that's different. And so we're not experts, but
of course
just kind not. Of opening ourselves up to like, is our terminology making like, let's all start to rethink our terminology and decide like mm-hmm. maybe some of these things we're calling disorders aren't disorders.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're disorders in the sense that they leave these people who are disordered from what we value in our society.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A society that's built by one type of person.
Mm-hmm.
And so it only works for these types of people in the same way that like people of color and women have been trying to get people to understand for
right.
years. Like
yeah.
we're not the problem.
Right.
The
exactly.
problem is this system was built for
a specific group of people.
And so it does not work for the rest of us.
Right.
Yeah.
And so maybe being a woman, being brown, thinking in a more spider web way rather
right.
than what's considered organized way, like mm-hmm. maybe those aren't disorders.
No.
Maybe the system wasn't built
oh,
for
yeah.
us.
That's
mm-hmm.
a good
you
point.
Know?
They're built on societal standards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
particularly white male.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah.
And that's where you get a lot of, I guess, gaslighting of
mm.
people of color and of women
mm-hmm.
is that, like
mm-hmm.
you said, it's like, I'm not the problem.
Right.
Like
right.
I'm in a society, I'm in a construct. I'm in this situation
yeah.
that I have a different set of, I don't know what the word, like
procedures.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make me wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, let's try and think in more of like a spider web
mm-hmm.
Way to where
mm-hmm.
it's like, rather than you're disrupting what I'm used to,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
It's more of like, how about you, instead of you getting mad at me because you feel threatened, or because
yeah.
your way of life
or
is feeling
threatened. Or because I'm gumming up the
yeah.
works of
yeah.
your
right.
super efficient, you know, like
yeah, yeah.
I'm throwing a wrench in your system.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
how about
you
do?
Know,
how about we all do a better job of taking a step back and trying
yeah.
to understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not trying to cause a problem.
Right.
Like, how about instead of you sitting there thinking, oh, this person is being an issue,
yeah.
right.
just listen to what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I realize I'm just, well, and the other thing to consider, and I'm, you know, this is not, none of these are original thoughts. There's plenty of people writing articles mm-hmm. and books and whatever, and there's plenty of people making YouTube videos and writing books that take these things out mm-hmm. of context or use them inappropriately. We were just talking about this earlier.
Sure.
But also the thing to consider is our, the world that we live in may not be the best thing for our brains.
Mm-hmm.
For the way our brains work, and so seeing increases in anxiety and mental illness and all these things. And so while all of that, from one perspective, all of that is very overwhelming and feels a little hopeless, like, well, I can't find, then where's the cause? Like, I need to find the cause so I can fix it. Like, if that's the way your brain works, which is the way my brain works.
Sure.
It's, you know, I want to fix it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I want to find the key to unlocking and mm-hmm. fix it. So, like, what I, you know, have worked and continue to work really hard at is training myself, taking classes, reading books, and meeting with people, and not as much in the last year because I needed a break from it.
Right. But
like to acknowledge the fact that it's a really sort of personalized, messy situation where you just kind of have to go, how can I live in this world? What do I need to do to live in my world in a way that like that I can like live with and thrive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So changing what I feel I need to change, learning to accept what I need to accept about myself and saying, you know, like, well, to me, this isn't a disability or a disorder. To me, this is like a thing that I value. And so I'm just going to be okay with that and know that other people
sure.
aren't going to be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what things... You know, that's why I really like the burgeoning terminology of like, it's not of not using the terms good or bad, but like more neutral terms of like, is this helpful?
Yeah. yeah.
Or
yeah.
is this unhelpful?
Yeah. Yeah.
So is this thing in my life, is this helpful to me?
Right.
You know, and just asking those questions of like, is this helpful?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Because when you say, is this good or bad?
Yeah.
I mean, something,
this is a bad habit. Yeah, that's yeah. a judgment. Yeah,
there's some sort of negative connotations
shame.
In there. Yeah, yeah, this isn't necessarily bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, it itself isn't bad.
Right.
But because we've used, is this good or is it bad,
mm-hmm.
you have to draw a line yeah. between one, like, things that are good and things that are bad,
mm-hmm.
like, it's two totally different.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's relative
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah.
I mean, murder is bad.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. Racism is bad.
Before people
yeah.
get crazy being like, well, what about that? We're talking
yeah. Yeah.
most things most yeah. of the time
yeah. Yeah.
are pretty neutral.
There are
right.
still standard things that we just named that are inherently evil
sure.
and bad
yes.
and
sure.
and should be looked down upon.
Yeah.
But when you get granular and more nuanced,
yeah.
what's good and what's bad
right.
can tend to be more relative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is sitting around watching Korean dramas for 6 months straight a bad habit?
No.
Or a good habit? Was it good for me or
right.
bad for me? What I prefer to think is, it was actually helpful for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it all has to do with the whys and wherefores.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so for somebody else, it might be unhelpful.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was helpful.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it was good.
Sure.
Because it was helpful for me.
Yeah.
So things like that, that's like, you know, is this...
Yeah.
You know, should we
yeah,
doing this
because
or not?
Not only is that was that an outlet, like mm-hmm. because we're so obsessive with things when
yeah.
when we get into something, we have to, it's not just in passing, it's like, no, we're head first all the
mm-hmm.
way into
mm-hmm.
it. And so through Korean dramas, you're learning about Korean culture.
Well, because that's yeah. where our bend, we have that, just not just in our family,
yeah,
not just in our like Webster,
yeah,
but also in the Kennedy household,
yeah,
everything,
right.
everything gets studied
mm-hmm.
because it's fun for us,
of course.
So it's like, oh, why did they say this and not that, and what does this mean, and why
yeah.
did they do this,
right.
and did this really happen in Korean history,
yeah.
or is this... And so, like, for us, that's fun. And then for me, so here's what it's kind of this interesting thing, and hopefully the people listening can sort of put this in their own context.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. We came up, when you think conservative evangelicalism,
mm-hmm.
everything you think of when you think that, that's what we, the kind of church we went to growing
yeah.
up. And so, like, I know I send you guys, I'm trying to organize my thoughts so I don't go off into too much. I'm trying to be a little more, trying to be concise at what I was trying to get at here.
I totally get that.
It's all leading to why I say obsessing over Korean dramas was my, when someone's like, oh, what kind of spiritual formation, because these are the kinds of people I hang with. So,
of course.
Oh, what are you doing for a spiritual formation right now? Or what are your spiritual formation? Because there was a time where I was had to answer that question quite a lot for potential training programs and this and that, whatever. And the, even the job that I have now, because it's a Christian school, they had, you know, there was a question about like, what, how do, what are your views on spiritual formation and what kind of things do you do and blah, blah, blah. But when I'm talking to people with those who also know those buzzwords, I will jokingly say like, well, I'm doing the spiritual discipline of watching Korean dramas. Mm-hmm. Here's why that's not just a joke. It's legitimate. So, I see myself as having officially become a Christian at 11, though I firmly believe that God, you know, communicates, like that all children, all humans are naturally spiritual, and that God communicates with us in however, you know, our whatever our natural bend is. So a lot of people have, you know, they forget about it or it's crushed out of them by certain systems or whatever. But a lot of us have these sort of supernatural, you know, encounters in nature, like feel having, and I don't even mean like wackadoodle, what people might call wackadoodle, but just like maybe, you know, laying in the grass in your backyard, feeling really at peace. Like that's God talking to you. That's God being present with you. That's my firm belief. And so I recognize that I very much my whole life have had this bend toward God, towards the Christian spirituality anyway. Which is why while I was simultaneously very deeply involved in church and youth group, I was never quite, I didn't never quite feel totally at home in the sort of stranglehold of conservative evangelicalism. So, which is why, you know, a lot of my life has been a journey away from those practices. So what am I talking about? Korean dramas. That's what I'm trying to get towards. So with that version of conservative evangelicalism comes a lot of shame and rigidity. And a lot of, you know, mix that up with a lot of other things that I was carrying around that have to do with family and home and all these different things. So a lot of my journey over the last 10 years has been moving away from the feelings of shame that still kind of lingered there of reading the Bible and prayer and taking time with God that like, that they have to look a certain way. I don't know how to explain this. I think you know what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you're
saying. But it has been a very long process of like, oh, I think I'm over it. No, I'm not over it. I think I'm over it. I'm not. So like being a very performance, got to perform and earn. So you mix into that being a woman in our society, like oh, I have to earn my place. And so I spent a very, like a decade, little by little, trying to dismantle that. And after we left that church, you know, just this last year, we've just kind of been staying away from established church buildings and things like that. And I got to the point where I was just like, you know what? My greatest act of faith, my greatest act that shows I believe God does love me no matter what is by not trying. Like that this, my greatest act of faith is by letting go and just doing whatever I feel like doing. And not pressuring myself or judging myself or whatever. And so for me, you know, one of the things, it's so funny because I've always been Miss, like, even before I was allowed to be Miss Pastor. Like, that's always been my bend, has been very pastoral, shepherding, just like the, you know, I'm ADHD about everything but Jesus, kind of, you know, and I still am. I'm not saying of that, but like I have been, you know, having this practice of like, man, we haven't gone to church in a while. Are we going to be okay? And then me going, you know what, God, I trust you. You'll let me know. Yeah. When we can find some place and feel safe again, and if we even go back to the church in its current iteration, or we find some other way or whatever, it's like I don't need to walk around with that fear of quote unquote falling away that was instilled in me when I was quite young.
Yeah.
But it's just like, oh, so my greatest act of faith is being able to say, okay, I'm not going to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to, you know, we haven't rejected Christianity. We haven't rejected Jesus.
Right.
I finally have admitted that I just don't know if I'll ever be able to be a part of American church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anymore. Totally. And so, but it's not like a, like, yeah, and I'm going to go do whatever. I hate God. You know, the stereotype that gets fed to you of like, well, you're either this or you're this. And it's like, no, actually, I have a huge problem with the American church on a very fundamental level.
Yep.
But I have no problem with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Of course
no problem with the Bible when studied correctly, not when taken and cherry-picked and used to abuse and manipulate.
Yeah.
But when you go and truly study it in its cultural context and, you know, like, no, we're not all going to be able to learn ancient Hebrew, but there's plenty of wonderful people out there that do know it and do teach in a way that encourages you to think for yourself and not just like, this is what this means, so that's what's right.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Take it for what it is.
So, you know, there's all this stuff. So my greatest, so that is why my spiritual discipline has been the spiritual discipline of binge watching Korean dramas.
Ah, okay. All right.
So it's because that's probably makes no sense to a lot of people, but if you're somebody that's always been earning oriented, like I have to earn the right to keep breathing today.
Right.
Like I have to earn the right to be alive by making sure I, you know, I don't even know what. But
yeah,
to do something to earn the right to be alive today.
I don't deserve
You
know, all these things are that are like innate. Like even I know it's kind of half jokey but half there. It's that mindset of like I need to earn the right to be happy in some way.
Yeah.
I need to earn I have to earn. And so for me to be able when I feel that crop up, I think I'm starting to get past the stage where I have to do the opposite because the feeling's so strong. Like, no, I'm just going to lay here until this feeling goes away.
Right.
Listen, feeling, you just go away. Leave. I don't have to.
You are not welcome here. You are being exercised.
Exercised.
I perform my own exorcisms.
Because I can.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the power of Christ compels me.
All I need today is Jesus to come back. So honestly, I do believe that actually.
Right.
Sometimes that is all you need to satiate whatever internal desire.
But it's essentially what you're saying with everything you've said is American evangelical Christianity has to confine what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it in regards to Christ and in regards to following God to this small box that was established hundreds of years ago that continues throughout but has gotten more toxic.
Absolutely.
And we will judge you if you are not staying confined to this box in the way that the American evangelical church says that that's how it's supposed to be done. And what you're saying essentially is what Matt and I have said before, and I think we talked about it with Tyler Crandall.
I really like that episode a lot.
Which is, you know, if you firmly believe the Christianese of God will meet you where you're at, if you really believe that, don't you believe that there are so many other ways that you can, like you said, that you feel God, that you feel the spiritual transformation, however you can define it or however you see it.
There's just some of these really crucial questions that, you know, we would have been taught were antagonistic. Like, well, if God's, you know, this big thing, like, why can't God talk through this and this and this? Or didn't God create this or that? Or these things that we would have been taught were antagonistic, and they're just real basic baby questions, like that people naturally, I don't mean that insultingly, I mean that is like, they're things instinctively in us that that demand answering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think they demand answering. I think the questions that demand answers naturally from inside of us, those point to God.
Mm-hmm.
And God's character. And so there's this, I'm going to plug another podcast.
Yes.
Called, it's called Bema Discipleship. Yeah. I know I've sent it to you guys before.
I listened to a few episodes.
And it's very, very good. And in the first couple of episodes, they talk about this way of like, you know, I don't know how every single Jewish person studies.
Right.
But the way, you know, rabbis study this idea of like, you know, looking at when and how and for whom the Bible was written, this idea that actually it's more, the stories are less straightforward, like how we like to think of it, especially in the in what they call the Western way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that it's more like they're leaving hints to a miss. So it's like the questions are leading you on, the way they put it is like the questions are leading you on a treasure hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people that wrote it, it's inspired by God is what many of us believe.
Right.
To lead you, so it's like you're being led in this sort of like puzzle to mm-hmm. come to conclusions and see, it's not straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you... I just want to say, just go find that podcast. You mm-hmm. start with episode zero, even though there's been six seasons, you can't not start at the beginning because
sure.
it's almost like a class, but like mm-hmm. fun and insightful. And like, it's actually done more for mm-hmm. us than a lot of things that church has.
Just yeah. think of it like Fazzini telling Inigo to go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's super good. Well, and then there's another podcast, I forget what it's called, but in the most recent years, they've added more scholars slash friends, whatever, to the podcast because the main guy was getting a little worried that it was going to become the Marty show and that he was going to mm-hmm. end up going the direction of a lot of the people that, you know, have done abusing. And so he's like, we need to make sure that this isn't just the cult of Marty. And so mm-hmm, he'd right. been bringing especially some women. And so there's this woman scholar, Elle Fricks, who she and her husband just started a podcast. And since she speaks and understands ancient Hebrew and modern Hebrew, she studied in Jerusalem. She's American, but she studied in mm-hmm. Jerusalem.
Right.
And so she does her own informal translations. And just each episode, I think there's like 40 episodes, and she just takes a chapter, reads it in her own, like the way she interpreted it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, okay. And her husband's like, okay, so why did you choose this imagery? Why did you, and just like lays it out and says, okay, now audience, you do what you want with that.
Mm-hmm.
Send me your questions, ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Ask, you know, why this or that, or it's just this sort of approach to scripture that's not anything goes,
mm-hmm.
but also like it's not, you can't see my hands, but I'm doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Like,
don't try and narrow
that narrowed
and confine
in.
It.
It's like, okay, it's people who advocate, let's take a step back and consider the audience,
mm-hmm.
which again, evangelicals don't like to do because it feels
right.
like you're saying something yeah. nefarious about yeah. them or about the Bible or
yeah.
whatever. Go back to the audience that it was originally geared towards.
Mm-hmm.
How would they have read it? What would it have meant to the original language? Like, you don't read a recipe book as if it's a novel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you don't read a novel like it's a recipe book. And
right.
so there's a lot of biblical illiteracy in people that are very strongly,
yeah.
you know, saying
mm-hmm.
that they know this or that or whatever. And
you,
so it's like,
you almost envy just their confidence in what they're
yeah.
saying.
Right.
But the problem is the more Bible literate
right.
you become, honestly, the less confident you are
yeah.
in, that you have the one correct. And I don't know. I just come to really see that open-endedness as beautiful,
mm-hmm. which is refreshing
yep.
because not a lot of people embrace that. I was just gonna say they try and like
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if you believe that God, we are created by an all-knowing God, like it just it, to the listeners, if you believe that, and we as humans are so complex and we were created that way, what sense does it make to try and simplify something from a complex creator to try and whittle it down into this or this?
Yes.
If you, like, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
If you as a human are not allowed to ask questions, not allowed to believe that some sort of spiritual formation is more fluid than rigid in a way, if you're not allowed to believe in that open-endedness and only confined to what American evangelical Christianity has hammered into your head, you get a lot of people who are living very miserable lives because us as humans,
definitely not life abundant as Jesus says we're called to.
Yeah, if you're not allowed, if you're not allowed to believe that there's this change in encountering with this with a spiritual father or with some sort of deity
or mother
or mother, how
whatever imagery,
not, of course.
Or as so, my favorite way of putting it is I did not create this. I had a teacher that uses it, and she probably, someone else probably uses it too, but I love the triune community of love. So as Christians, we believe in the Trinity, which is a very odd, so it's this thing of like, it's like, well, what is this? Oh, don't even get me started. So science is amazing, and Carl Sagan really nailed it in the fact that, like, listen, if Carl Sagan and the Bible Project people, like, basically put it in a more, in a specifically narrowed it into, like, Christian terms, but this, so when you're talking about the Trinity and the other anthropomorphisms that are used in the Bible, which, again, and I, listen, we come from evangelicalism. That's why we're singling out evangelicals, and because it's the loudest, most egregious. There are other denominations that have their own issues and stuff like that. So whatever, you know, don't write me a letter. I don't have time to read it. And
Well,
I don't want to internalize your own bullshit.
I was
going
to say, I commend you for using archaic technology.
Kudos to you for taking the time to write and send a letter.
So actually, maybe I might... You could write me a letter.
You're right, Guster.
You could write me a book.
But please don't write me a book, because I definitely don't have time to read
Not
that.
Unless you record it onto an
audio
book.
If you make it an
audio book, then I might listen to it.
If you put forth this much effort to voice a voice something,
a dissension or
dissension
anger
towards me,
just anything.
You know what? Thank you.
Thank you.
You think more about me than some of people who,
you think
some
more
of my loved ones.
You think more of me than
I don't
think of me.
True.
No,
think
no. You think.
What was
I
saying?
I was being facetious.
Saying,
I was being facetious.
ADHD. That's,
oh, the
that's
triune what, community of love. We'll get there in a second. I said triune community of love. Oh, Carl Sagan.
Yes.
So this idea of the, I love science because science
me
helps
too.
Me so much.
Of
with,
course.
Absolutely.
And one of my my favorite authors of all time, she's, rest in peace, Madeleine L'Engle, Wrinkle in Time, and a lot of other ones. And she was always a big believer in the mixing of mystery and science. She was Episcopalian. And honestly, some of our favorite, C.S. Lewis, I think, was Episcopalian.
Joe Episcopalian.
No, Joe Episcopalian.
That was a stretch.
And that's where
Joe
Episcopalian.
Well,
no, like, have I told you before how Brian and I used to like to take the denomination names and make silly, so it's like, oh, we're going to church with the Presbos today. Or
Crizos
or James A. Cassar. James Astor did Bappos and Crizos. Oh, I love you so much. Okay, so the Trinity.
Yes.
It's not. And these scientific explanations aren't necessarily that it's like, oh, now I understand. It's more like giving me a context for why it's okay that I don't understand.
Yeah, right.
So Carl Sagan, and you can look up the video, and obviously I can't explain Carl Sagan like Carl Sagan.
Right.
So look up the video, or you can even look up the Bible Project video on the Trinity, I think it is. But this idea of explaining it like this, there's this thing called the fourth dimension. Right? And we just can't comprehend it. And so Carl Sagan's doing this explanation of like, okay, well, think of it like if a two-dimensional thing was alive and you, a three-dimensional person, came and tried to explain what you were to them and how they – and so like if a two-dimensional object were sentient and alive and trying to describe a three-dimensional being to someone else, like they only have two-dimensional words.
Yeah.
And so a lot of our anthropomorphic ideas and this this trinity and things like that. Yes, it is three in one, but the reason that doesn't make sense is because we only have three-dimensional words
right.
for what amounts to possibly a four-dimensional plus being.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this being that is, we are made in the image of, but the word used there, I believe L says, and you should double check me.
Right.
Please double check me, because this is like secondhand from someone sure. else who does know, is the way she translated it is shadow.
Mm.
And so then you also go back to what James says is about how we're looking in a glass that's, you know, dark and sort of wibbly, like,
yeah.
But someday we'll see clearly.
Yeah.
So this idea that, like, yes, we're made in the image of God, but God is something otherworldly. And mm-hmm, so all of these things are correct and not correct at the same time.
Right.
And so that's why I prefer the triune community of love,
mm-hmm.
because I think it hits a lot of the notes of, like, who God is.
Sure.
In this sense, and I need to write Ella an email, because in her translations she uses the pronoun he, and I thought for sure that she would. I thought I remember Brian saying he had read that, because in Hebrew there is a plural. So you know how we say they?
Yeah, yeah.
So in Hebrew they do have, I believe, a pronoun similar to they that's sort of like a. Plural, it's what's called a plural singular.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
And so, and again, this is all so much above my pay grade.
Sure.
But all of it points to me the potential.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, and again, listen, take it with a grain of salt, but I think you can tell a lot about your faith, whether open-endedness feels hopeful and potential or makes you angry. It can be frightening.
Yeah.
I've been frightened and hopeful at the same time,
sure.
wondering, oh, this God that I've been worshiping and feels so close to me, do I even have any idea? You know, those things yeah. are frightening, and that's okay.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. But does the frighten turn to curiosity,
yeah.
to trying to be hopeful, to perseverance, or does the frighten turn to anger
yeah.
and pushback and becoming smaller and more constricted? And so, like, I like to think about the last few years when I describe it is like, I'm just trying to become bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to become in here bigger and sure. more abundant and
yeah.
not more constricted
yeah.
and tight.
Tense
and like, and so are you becoming a smaller person or are you becoming a bigger person? That's mm-hmm. another helpful, not helpful
sure.
thing to ask yourself is like,
right.
this thing that I'm doing, am I becoming smaller? Is my world becoming smaller? Are there less and less people around me who fall into, you know, whatever my idea of someone who's acceptable to be around me?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it getting bigger? Is it getting broader?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is it bringing, you know, what is the fruit of it? Love,
yeah.
joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yeah, exactly.
Or...
just, I had to. It's just innate at this point. It's part of the
yeah.
rhythm.
Yeah.
What we grew up in. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, actually, that song, I learned that recently at the kids' school.
Okay.
And I thought
okay.
it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's like the spirit of the fruit of the spirit's not a coconut.
Oh, yeah.
The fruit of
yeah.
the spirit's
oh,
not a coconut.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I remember sending that to you.
Well, I sang that for when we went to harmony, I sang that for the little kids.
Yeah. yeah.
So yeah, I mean, we could go on for so much longer.
There's a wealth yeah. of information and resources
yeah.
out there that mm-hmm. that we're again kind of like with our episode with Tyler Crandall that we also mm-hmm. didn't plan on kind of getting
yeah.
in the weeds with and recording with.
Yeah.
We're not experts.
Mm-mm.
We're not going to be arrogant enough to pass ourselves off as one. Like, please go seek out resources.
Always
and,
somebody
yeah.
to cite my sources
if
I'm able to. But like Samantha even said in this, I mean, it's a lot of this is either secondhand information or
yeah.
information we've accrued through reading that obviously reading things that
yeah.
we did not write.
Oh yeah. Much like our other bonus episode, we
yeah.
really wanted to put this out because
mm-hmm. yeah.
it's fruitful and helpful
mm-hmm.
and
anyone who's listening, I know we're like a funny podcast or whatever, but anyone who's listening, like, it's nice to take a break.
Yeah.
And it's
well, just think of it as an example of maybe the kinds of discussions you should or could be having with your friends and your family. Yeah. Like, just have the discussions. Like, don't just let us have the discussions for you. Like, and I'm sure Matt and Steve, if or through them, ask me if you're just like, well, I just have no idea what resources.
Yeah.
I have so many books that I think are great, and there's great podcasts and, you know, not just about Christianity, the Bible, but like there's wonderful psychologists and therapists out there that do podcasts where they break down polyvagal theory and attachment theory and, you know, all these talk about, tell you what's the somatic system and, you know, so just there's a lot of actual good information out there. And so if you're at a loss for finding it, like, I'm sure one of us could point you in the right direction.
And obviously, you know, you don't have to be a Christian to have these things apply to you. Like I said in our talk with Tyler, I firmly believe where my kind of, Samantha talked a lot about spiritual formation, where you find it. I find a lot of what I'm seeing is there, and it could play into the fourth dimension plane here. There's this energy that runs throughout human beings that connects us with mind and body and everything like that.
Well, logos, so the Greeks.
Yeah.
And you see in John chapter 1 where it talks about the logos, and he says the logos is Jesus, but he says that because the Greek world would have understood this concept of logos as this energy that runs through the universe and orders it and organizes it. And so, you know, while I firmly believe that Jesus is God made flesh, everything else, I absolutely, like, let's... Same concepts, different terms, different boxes, different, you know. In fact, during some training I had, that was sort of like just reading books on, like, yes, this person who wrote it says, yes, I am a Christian, but look, everything that I've gotten from, in fact, there's someone, she wrote a book called Holy Envy, where she talks about her journey going through the different spiritual practices of different religions and belief systems and, you know, and all the... Just all this. I mean, like, even prayer beads are not specifically Catholic. Like, Buddhists have prayer beads, and Wiccans have prayer beads. Like, I did a whole summer where I was researching prayer beads and making beads and making blah blah blah, and just, you know,
it's the same with like liturgy and spoken prayer and stuff like that. Like, that's not specific to, like, when we entered one of the churches we went to, and I know we're trying to kind of bring this to a close.
Oops, sorry.
No.
That's, I'm just trying to help you end it too by saying, like, hey, go look for,
you're right. You're right. Like I said at this ending here, there's so much further we can go. And it's good reason.
And this is the last path I'm going down. It's more of like, oh, one of the churches that we used to go to that introduced liturgy.
I love liturgy.
And there were a lot of people.
I'm a liturgy nerd.
Right.
Nice. That's my phrase.
Nice.
I pinned it.
I wash my dishes with dish detergent.
Dish detergent. Holy smokes, look at that shine. Holy smokes.
That's the shine of Jesus. Holy
smokes, like, smells
that's
and bells.
Right. Holy smokes. Gosh, why did I miss it? That shines the Holy Spirit.
But a common complaint people had when it was introduced was, this is too Catholic. And this is this is too that. But
old school Catholics, man. Yeah. There's some real beauty when you're talking about, like, Saint Ignatius and people that came up with imaginative contemplation and imaginative
prayer. In the early church, Catholic was just the church.
Like, that's
that
right.
was
that's
the
right.
term for just the church.
And
it wasn't a specific
still
denomination.
Used in the Apostles' Creed. One holy apostolic and Catholic church.
Yeah.
The term Catholic meaning.
Yeah.
Just the whole church, you know. Anyway, sorry.
No.
The end.
We're done. We're talking about the Princess Bride.
Thank you all for this. This was a bonus episode that it's a little out of order because we started in on our discussion on this discussion of mental health and spiritual formation, everything you just listened to in this bonus episode we started in at the beginning.
Before our Princess Bride discussion.
Before our Princess Bride discussion. However, you will be getting Princess Bride before this. So when you're listening to this, you've more than likely saw that we released Princess Bride. It's out of order. However, it was a wonderful
the magic
discussion.
Of editing.
Exactly. It was a wonderful discussion. I'm so glad we went off and we're able to have enough to release a bonus episode. Just like we thanked you at the end of Princess Bride. Wink, wink.
Remember when we did that, everyone?
Again, thank you for joining us, Samantha. It's always wonderful to have you on. Like we, even though we've said before, we're a community podcast, but we care about you and we want you all to take care of yourselves. Mm-hmm. You absolutely are genuine every time you say that, Matt, to be good to yourself.
Yeah.
Be good to each other.
Yeah.
So, Matt, why don't you just give them one for the road?
Okay. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.